holy.
Be Holy is a broadcast ministry of believers dedicated to saving the souls of all men and women.
We teach the words of God that people all over the world may hear the voice of God and obey Him.
God doesn't want to show us His wrath or His anger. He just wants us to repent and be holy.
And after one repents, he or she can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, but certainly not before they repent. Listen, we really can't even discuss prayer until one repents. Yes, hell is making its way towards the unrepentant heart, but it is Be Holy's commandment and mission to warn everybody, not to control, to warn.
The Word of God is spirit and it's life. That's why we take the Word of God seriously. We're not using shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We're not trying to trick anyone or change the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all those who are honest and live by truth, they know the truth, they realize that we are telling the truth.
Listen, friend, we've been preaching and teaching for over 20 plus years, and the Lord Jesus is satisfied with our efforts, and we want to keep it that way.
Next on Be Holy.
Be Holy.
All right. Listen, we want to welcome everybody back to Be Holy. We're going to do something a little different today, just a little different. I want to talk to the preachers. There are a few things that people need to understand about the preacher, but then I really want to talk to the preacher. Most preachers start off on the good, with a good heart and with good intentions. And due to a number of things, it slowly begins to change how they think and view their work. Now, generally, when a preacher starts out, they don't expect to, just have a big church right off the back or right at the start or at the onset. But they do anticipate some of a following or some type of a following. And with that line of thinking, it motivates them to continue to go and work and travel and try to build the work itself. And so, yes, the Holy Ghost can actually move upon them to motivate them, to move them into work or give them a mind to work. But what happens is over time, things change and shift, whether there be a recession, where the people can't support the way they usually support or they don't support the way they usually support because they're trying to survive themselves. And even though the scriptures tell us to always give our 10%, our tithes and offering, a lot of times people just can't do it. They just can't do it. Whether they're, down to one job in the home or down to no job at the home. And so they're trying to scrape together what they can to survive at their home, let alone church. And so if you have 30, 40 families in the church and 15 of them are really struggling, that's going to put the church in a struggle also. And so a lot of times the pastors get into the struggle and they never complain about it, but they just go on and go on and move and work and just, grunt the whole thing. In some kind of way, God always helps them to survive letdown or the recession in itself that's happening. I mean, that's just one example. Or maybe they've been like Noah preaching forever for 10, 15, 20 years and only ever have maybe two or three people that they can actually count on to help them build the work or to actually believe them. The scriptures always ask the question, who has believed our report? That's not a song. That's a question. God, we've been preaching all this time, but who's believing what we're saying? And so a lot of times that'll change things. To where they feel nobody's listening, nobody cares, they're out there by themselves. They've tried joining organizations, they've tried joining other leadership in the area, joining other preachers, befriending other churches, fellowships, and nothing seems to, you know, work. Or maybe they're on the radio. Maybe they're they have a ministry on the radio. They're on television. They're on social media. They're on YouTube and not getting a response. And so over time, it just drains the preacher. And so when that happens, you know, it's only the worst that's going to come out, because what will happen is it'll come out on their families. Their families will suffer for it or because of it. The morale of the pastor and the church morale will all suffer from it, because the preacher's trying to stay, you know, up and trying to motivate everybody. But, you know, they're looking at it and they're not seeing any increase anywhere in the church. It'd be different if you were going through but you saw the people growing spiritually, or you saw the people growing in attendance, or you saw something happening even in the midst of trouble. You know, it would help you to help the pastors and the preachers to continue to work. I mean, they're going to work. If God's behind them, they're going to still work. But I'm just giving you the mindset of preaching. Like I get on here every week. I mean, and I was doing it long before I became a part of this station. And, you know, you wonder who's listening. You wonder. I mean, yeah, you have the demographics from the stations. Yes, you have all of that. But you're wondering if it's changing anybody. That's what you're wondering. You always wonder if it's changing anybody. Is it helping anybody? You know, I'm sitting here and we're talking, or we're recording the message, and we're printing the message, and we're putting it out, and we're putting it all over the internet and all over the social media, not to gain more members. That's not my notion. That's not my push. My push is that people will understand God for themselves and God begin to talk to them. And so when God begins to talk to them, they have something to say to God. But I always ask the question, who is believing what we're saying? I'm not here to, you know, get spiritual scalps. No. I'm only here because God placed me here. Trust me, if God don't place me where I am, I won't be there, because what I preach is not popular. It's not popular. And because it's not popular, people aren't driving in droves to it. And that droves of people aren't believing what I'm saying. And so I'm showing you how these things can actually work on a preacher. So the preacher, 9 times out of 10, is using his own credit. He's using his own savings. He's using his own job, his own money to fund the work. And sure, he'll do that in the beginning because he believes in it. And so he's expecting the people to believe in it. And so when the people begin to believe in the work, they begin to support the work, they grow into the work, they love the work, and then they're waiting for God to increase them in the work. But what happens when the preacher never sees it? I mean, think about all those years Noah was preaching and building the ark, talking about it's going to rain, God's going to destroy the earth, God's going to, the same thing we're preaching, the same thing I'm preaching, God's going to destroy the earth one day. You've got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. And nobody listens. People sit there and watch you do it, but they don't actually believe you. And so that it wears on the preacher. Now, a lot of times the preacher, when they're using their own credit, their own money, their own job, their own everything, they use their own house to start the ministry, or their family are the first members, and their families are the ones that are missing out on everything to try to build the work. After time, if they don't see an increase, they begin to wonder what's going on, or what's happening, or what can we do to get a response. And so then that's when the trouble starts, because once you start wondering what you can do, a lot of times you've already prayed to God, and God is, you know, you know, and God going to come through, and God's going to help, and God's going to this, and God's going to that. And you're believing God. But then between God answering you and actually doing what he told you he was going to do, you get weary. And when those preachers get weary, when the preachers get weary, that's when you got to lift your pastor up in prayer. You got to really be praying for him every day. But when you see if you see the pastor kind of slacking off, or you see a change in him for the worse, that's when you really got to put them in prayer, because they need to see the people. They got to see that the people care. Because if you don't see that the people care, you begin to question, why are you even doing this? That's what will happen. And a lot of times when that happens to the pastor, or by the time the church people figure out that that's what's happening, it's too late. It's too late. And so now pastoring and the work has become a job. And they no longer see it as spiritual, but carnal. That's how they see it. So then they start doing things like, oh, yeah, well, let's feed the hungry, which is a good thing. Let's feed the hungry on Saturdays, to prepare breakfast on Thanksgiving, or let's prepare some food on Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that. And they'll begin to come up with ideas to help the community. But trust me, it's going to be hard for you to help the community if you don't see that the church is being helped. If you don't see that the church is being changed, you begin to see that you're the only one just kind of there. Now, the people are there, they're helping, they're working, but you don't see the growth, and that's the problem. When you don't see the growth, you could you'd use your last dime if you could see growth. You know, I mean, think about it, just like your children. A lot of times they want to do everything. They want to do this. They want to take karate lessons. They want to take boxing lessons. They want to run track. They want to play football. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to do this. They want to buy that, and they want to buy this. And if you see that they're really into it, long before you put any money into it, you're more willing to put your money into it. You see them working, so you're willing to put your all into it. Well, it's the same thing with church. Church members, you have to understand that pastoring is not an easy job. That is not an easy job. That is a task beyond task. Matter of fact, while everybody else is sleeping, the pastor is still thinking, what do we need to do? How do we do this? How do we do that? How do we do this? They're in prayer. You have to be in prayer with them, and they need to see that you're with them. You know, but at the same time, understand this. A real preacher don't need to see anybody with them. Real preachers understand that if you're by yourself, you're just by yourself. But if you're working in a church and you're building a church or a ministry, you're looking for the people to actually be with you, not love you, not serve you as God, but to be with you. We have a common goal. If we're going to win this corner and this block for Jesus, if we're going to try to grow the church strictly from this neighborhood, and we're going to go out to this neighborhood and tell them about what they need to do, that we're going to preach the kingdom to this neighborhood, then let's do that. But let's not let the pastor do it by himself. If the pastor is doing it by himself, there's something wrong. The people have to grow into it. Now, understand, everybody's not going to grow at the same rate. Everybody's not going to be able to grow when the pastor needs you to grow. That's not the point. But you have to be aware that these things are expected. Same thing with God. God expects us to grow as people in his kingdom. And he's expecting us to grow spiritually. Not as in membership, but as in individuals. So when someone talks to me, I'm going to preach the gospel to them. And when they come running from me to you, you're going to tell them the same thing. And then when they run from you to someone else that God has been grooming and God has been growing in, they're going to tell them the same thing. So nobody can run from the gospel or from the kingdom if they want it. Now, if they don't want it, we have better sense than to keep telling them about it. If they don't want it, they don't want it. There's nothing you can do about it. And that's that. But at the same time, the pastor needs to see that the people are growing. And how do you grow? Begin with prayer. Just start with prayer. Matter of fact, repent first. Repent from evil. Repent from sin. And then start asking God, God, what do I need to do? And he'll show you. He'll walk you straight through the water baptism and the Holy Ghost and all of that. And then after you receive the Holy Ghost, he'll begin to work on your perfection. And when he starts to work on your perfection, then you'll be in that same condition that the pastor's in, wanting to see who else is walking in perfection, who else is willing to do what needs to be done. And then that's when the church will really grow, because we want to be saved. Let's take a break.
Be holy.
Come on, everybody. Let's talk about it. Up from the grave.
Yeah, that's Jesus Rose from the 40 Plus Church Songs Project. Just go to Google and type in hashtag 40 Plus Church Songs, and you can listen to every last one of those songs on YouTube. Listen to them on Tidal. listen to them on all your net, your streaming networks. Apple Music or wherever you like to listen to music? It's there. It's there. Just listen to it and begin your worship at home. So when you come to church, the pastor can see that you worship at home first. That's another thing that the pastors need to see, that the people are taking the message home. It's not good enough for us to preach the message in the neighborhood that we're trying to win, but we don't preach it at our homes. We have to preach it there too. We preach it at the house. We preach it in the car. We preach it at work, preach it on lunch break, preach it in our text, preach it on the phone. I mean, we're talking about growing the church and how the pastor expects to see growth in the people. Now, if the pastor don't want any growth, fine. But most pastors who really are affected by this and their families are changed because they started to work and they suffer because people don't take it seriously. This is what we're talking about today. And the pastors, 9 times out of 10, will never tell you this because they don't want it. They don't want you to think that they're depending on you. They don't want you to think that. They're strong and they got to put them out there and they're going to just suffer through it by themselves. But I'm here as an advocate. I'm here to tell you that these things need to be, you need to look at it. You need to look at it. You need to look at it and actually begin to want to grow spiritually as a person. Now, and again, if you don't want to grow, I'm not talking to you. If you want to stay in sin, you stay in sin. If you want to keep smoking, you keep smoking. If you want to stay drinking, you stay drinking. If you want to keep cheating on your wife, you keep cheating on your wife. But listen, I'm talking to the people who can hear the word of God right now in my voice. They don't have to say amen. They don't have to do anything, but they know I'm telling you the truth. The pastor is the one looking. He's the watchman. He's the one that's here to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be here. He's here to make sure you're growing. He's the watchman. He's the watchman. And if you don't want a watchman, stop going to church and stop wasting the pastor's time. Stop doing that. That don't do nothing. That does nothing but bring him down. That does nothing but bring him down. And nobody needs to be brought down in this day and age. There's so many things that can bring you down. Pastors don't need the churches to bring them down. They don't need that. They need for the church to grow, not in membership, but individual spiritual beings. And if you grow in as spiritual beings, you'll cause other people to think, to look. You can't draw them. Only God can draw them, but they'll see a difference. And you know, if you just look around you, most churches are not churches. They say church on the outside, but there are no churches. The equivalent is this. It'll say grocery store outside. You walk inside, it's a hardware store. It says hardware store, and you walk in, it's a Subway or some kind of restaurant or something. God does not want that. If you're going to be the church, God wants us to be the church. And the leaders want us to be the church. The leaders are counting on us being the church. Now, no, you're not going to be able to make every single service, every single meeting, every single everything. But they need to know that even though you're not there, you're still growing. And when you do show up, we're going to see the growth. We automatically see the growth. It does my heart. No, listen, my heart jumps when I see people growing. Not in money, not in memberships and things like that. But when I can see people have changed and they don't even know that they're changing, but I can see it. You understand what the preachers know what I mean. Preachers, I don't care what anybody else says. The preachers listening to me now understand exactly what I'm saying. When you see one person out of 100, if you can see that one person change, not you wanting them to change, but you can just see the initiative in them to change and do what, and it lasts past 1 week, you love to see that. Because everybody, once they first join the church, everybody wants to change. But when you see a person that's wanting to change and it lasts for a good 6 months, it lasts for a year, and you can see the change in them, and they're not bugging you for nothing, but they're changing, they're reading their Bible. First of all, they weren't even bringing the Bible. They weren't reading the Bible on their phone. But now you can sneak and see them pulling up the scriptures on their phone and got a Bible and got some kind of little tablet or something, typing the lesson into it and coming out. Here's the thing. It's not Sunday morning that get the pastor excited. It's when they see you at Bible study. When they see you at Bible study, not that Sunday morning is better than Bible study. I'm not saying that. But when they see you at Bible study, which is where the real growth happens, they get excited. When they see you on Sunday night, when usually, you know, if you have 100 people on Sunday morning, usually you're only going to have maybe 20 people there on Sunday night. When they see you walk in on Sunday night and they don't usually see you on Sunday night and they see you walk in ready to be a part and worshiping and singing and praying, they love that. Pastors love that. Preachers love that, because that means that it's not just them doing all the praying, doing all the preaching, them just up there talking and nobody's listening. It's nothing more disrespectful than the pastor to be up and everybody's asleep. Now, sometimes the pastors, y'all do bring on some boring sermons. You know, I'm sure I do, you know. But at the same time, if you're trying to grow, you might not get every last sermon, but you're going to get the majority of them. You're going to get the majority of them because the Holy Ghost is going to teach you what the pastor is saying. The pastor can't teach you what the pastor is saying. The Holy Ghost has to teach you what the pastor is saying. And so when he sees you coming in with your Bible and you coming in with an enthusiasm and you wanting to hear and do, they love that. Oh, they love that. I know I do. I love it. We were doing a Bible study years ago. And we started off with maybe, I want to say, two or three. But like within a year's time, we had about 50. We had about 50 people. And they were not members of our church. Matter of fact, the whole Bible study was not members of our church. It was always people outside of our church. We would advertise that we're doing a Bible study. We're going to teach the Bible in 3 hours or less. And people would show up. I mean, from the Catholic religion to AME, Baptist, whatever. It doesn't matter. They just were not members of our church. They would show up. We'd sit there and we'd talk about the Word of God. And any question that they had, I would not let them leave until that question was answered. We'd pull out everything. If I didn't know the answer, we'd find it in the Bible. We'd just find it. Let's find it. And when we found it, the people rejoiced. People would get baptized. People would give their life to the Lord. And not because I called them to the front to do so. After the Bible study, they would always come up and say, hey, I think I need to be baptized again. And I would never even preach baptism, but I think I need to be baptized, is what they would say. And so we go and baptize them. Why? Because it was them that made the initial. And it wasn't just like they came once and said they want to be baptized. No, they would come and come and come and come by. And then all of a sudden they really got involved in the Bible study. And they said, you know what? I need to do this. I need to make a change. No, we never had them join the church. That wasn't the point. The point was that they would learn how to grow. Learn how to grow so that the pastors, wherever they were, could see their growth and rejoice.
Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Join the discussion on Facebook at Be Holy Broadcast. Our Be Holy podcast is at Podbean, or contact us at beholy116@gmail.com or 614-268-7757. Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Tune in next week.
Be Holy.